Last week was in John chapter 8, and God was speaking to us about our beliefs in Jesus Christ, about having Him as our Lord and our Savior. And last week, it was kind of hard because we read the scriptures and it said that if we don't do what Christ says to do as His believers, if we don't follow Him, He said that we are a liar. And that was pretty heavy, I think. Don't you all think so? I mean, it made you stop and think this week that, man, am I doing what Christ has called me to do? Am I doing what Christ has told me to do? See, in our mind, I'm my wife's husband, okay? In my eyes, man, I'm the greatest husband there ever has been.
Best one I've ever had.
There you go. But in my mind's eyes, man, I'm just the greatest thing she ever had, you know. But what's really important is, what does she say? You know that? Because I'm her husband. And she's my wife, and we reverse the thing, can't we? Huh? Well, the same attitude we have. I had to look at my wife to see whether or not, am I meeting her expectation as a husband? Am I providing for her, doing it as she would like? And we need to look at the Word of God the same way. As a believer, when we confess that we are followers or believer in Jesus Christ, we need to look at His Word. What does His Word say? What His believers do. And if we don't line up to what His Word says, then we're truly not a believer in Christ. He calls us a liar. And that's pretty hard. But He's saying there's no give or take. There's no 99% of being a Christian. You know, we can't be a follower of Christ 99% of the time, have that 1% for our own time. You know what I'm saying? That one day a month. No. Now, there's no, you know, I can't really compare myself to my wife as husband and wife and in the same time as God, because I'm her husband, whether I provide for really great or leniently, we are still husband and wife, okay? We are a work in progress, and we've been married 38 years. So. And sometimes we take that same attitude, like, okay, well, I'm a Christian, I'm a work in progress, and we all are a work in progress, amen? I mean, He's still working on us. But when it comes to work in progress, when we read His Word and it says what to do, we just do it. If it says what not to do, we don't do it. There's nothing there to work on. You understand? I mean, we have the Word. We work on maybe our attitude, our minds, how we occupy our times. Slowly, as the Word comes in our life, He takes stuff out of our life. And stuff. That is a work in progress. But when you read the Word of God, and it says, grab any commandments you want to, thou shalt not lie. Okay? What does it mean? Don't lie. Right. Okay. Now, if you know, it says, thou shalt not lie, and you lie anyway. Well, Joe, I got this car also. You know what I'm saying? It's got four tires, a fantastic motor. You know, you don't even have to look at it. Now, I know it's a piece of junk. I'm lying to him, okay? Well, Joe comes back to me later on and says, I bought that car off of you. I didn't get out of the parking lot. It fell apart. I thought you were a Christian. Oh, Joe, I am, but I'm a work in progress. Hey, I got this truck back here. God, you want to buy it? See one? No. I mean, I know that it's a lie. He said not to do it. And I'm a follower of Christ. I don't do it. If I step out and go ahead and lie anyway, I am not in Gaza. I am not a follower of Christ. You follow me on that? What Jesus is saying? We'll say, well, I'm just trying, Joe, you know. But no, Jesus has been it. If you don't do as I say, you're not my true follower. My true followers hear my voice and obey. And so it's a good thing there. As you read the scriptures and study and talk to the Lord, just, you know, the more we allow ourselves to obey the Word of God, the better it is in our life. Maybe our prayers a lot of times might be, God, help me. Help me to follow Your Word and do as You say. You know, give me strength. And you find yourselves following around the wrong crowd, doing stuff you're not supposed to do, find a different crowd. Amen? Amen. And the old congregation got walked out. No. But what God doesn't want, He doesn't want anything to come between us and Him. He wants to have that communication level. He's a God who created us. In John 1:10, we are His children now, as born again Christians, and He wants to be able to pour into us His blessings. He pleases when He gets to bless His children, same as we do. And we are pleased when we bless our kids. At least I am. Share with them. But He's been showing us the last few weeks, and this probably is the last message on this area, is that sin blocks the ears of God. And when it blocks the ears of God, it stops our prayers, our communications level from Him. But when we repent from our sins, turn away from them, seek forgiveness, His ears are open again. Amen? It's kind of like having a phone line. We get sin in our life, it breaks down the phone line that we have to God. And as we repent our sins, let Christ in our life, He repairs that phone line, that communication level is open. You know, if I had, of course, we all have cell phones, most of us anymore, but at one time, young folks, there was a thing called a wall mount phone. You had a phone line that went from up here to the pole, from the pole to the next pole, the next pole, the next pole. And a lot of us here really still remember those. But if a tree fell down and took out the phone line, and I picked up my phone to call Joe, you going to hear me, Joe? No. Why not? The line's broken. Okay. But how dumb would it be saying, I'm going to call Joe, and Carol said, the tree took out the phone line. The tree took out. Oh, shut up. You know what you're talking about. I'm calling Joe. Hey, Joe. Hey, Joe. Carol said, hey, listen. The tree took out the phone line. I said, no, I'm going to talk to Joe. And, hey, Joe, can you hear me there? Can you hear? No, the phone line is gone. When the phone line is repaired, I can talk to Joe again. It's the same way in our life as we walk in our life with the Lord. When we allow sin in our life, it stops the phone line. It just, the communication level is done. And we can say, oh, I'm going to live in sin anyway. I'm going to do this. And oh, I'll just talk to God later. No, I mean, the only way we talk to God again is by fixing the phone line. And how do we do that? Repent from our sins. Amen? Yes. Sin is very detrimental to us. Sin is a blocking point in our lives. And it's kind of like this. Come here, honey. I'm going to pick on you today. Surprise, huh? You want a chair to sit in? You can bring it over. Oh, I forgot about Sparky. Remember last week? Yeah. Here, huh? No. My wife and I. Okay. Married 38 years. Amen. Yeah. Amen. We have communications as best as husband and wife does. Okay. But can you imagine? I'll pick on the husband this time. I come home. I do something that she just can't stand. Boy, quits talking to me. Hey, honey, don't talk to me. Oh man, I did it again. I did it again. No communication. But she just, I'm not going to talk to you. You guys ever had that happen? Okay.
If your wife's sitting beside you, don't shake
her. And I'm, yeah. And I'm sitting there, I'm thinking, okay. Man, I know I shouldn't have done it, Joe. I shouldn't have done it. I wait for a while. And, hey, honey, how you doing? Boy, you keep on going, you know. But this time you go out, you do the dishes, guys, or we even vacuum the floor. And we don't try to do laundry because we always mess that up, you know. You know, we keep working around the house and stuff. Hey, honey, how you doing? Boy, just like an iceberg in there. Then finally realize, ooh, yep. Hey, hon, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that or I shouldn't have done that. I was wrong. Forgive me. Man, I tell you what, woo! Smiles come back on the faces, your heart uplifted, you know. And all the whole time, she's sitting there, and I'm doing all this stuff in the house. Oh, wait a second, you're using me, wasn't you? She's just thinking, man, Starkey, all I want you to do is come in and apologize. You hurt my feelings, come. But because of, one, I'm doing what I shouldn't have done, whatever it might be, it could be something simple, but maybe I was
lying.
I was fishing when I should have been doing something different. I don't know. But it hurt her feelings. But the minute I recognized that and went in and apologized to her, she forgave me. And she wants to. I mean, she wants to. There's something in between that we just it breaks our heart when we're separated. And we've all, if you're married, you've all been through it. You've all went into the front room and back room. I'm right. Yeah, we do. Then after a while, it's, man, why did I open my big fat mouth? I should have known better. And the minute we come back together, and I apologize, man, it's just like fantastic. She just can't wait to cook dinner, you know? But until then, that separated her and I, this disagreement. You know, and sometimes, guys, you ever come home? You just come home, a great day, man. It's like Kenny said earlier, the sun's out. Man, the birds are chirping around. You know, you seen 14 squirrels running around. Oh, you pull in the driveway. You walk in the house. Hey, honey, I'm home. I'm home. Wow, better get out of here for a while. So you leave. You just, I'm not even going to try to talk to her. I'm going to go out and cut wood or something. Leave her alone. You can come back in again. We call it testing the water, don't we, guys? Hey, honey. Finally, after it goes on for a while, we can't figure it out. It's 5:30. We don't smell the bacon cooking for supper, do we? Nope, nope, nope. I don't hear the timer being set for dinner. Something's going on here. Finally, I walk in and say, please tell me, what did I do to make you mad at me? You quit talking to me. What did I do? Please tell me. You should tell me something, whatever it might be. Wow. Why did I not go to her 5 hours earlier? The minute I come in the door. And I knew, and folks, you know, you have that sense, if you're married, you have that sense in you when you walk in the door, whether it is an oven or it's a refrigerator, you know? Oh, honey, what's wrong? You know, sometimes it might not even be us, it may just be her having a... But what's wrong? Tell me what I did. And the minute she tells me, oh, my, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to hurt your feelings. I didn't mean to do that. I didn't mean to upset you that way. I didn't know I did that. Well, I thought maybe you did it on purpose. Whatever it is, once we come together and make up, everything is fine. And the problem we have is sometimes we wait too long. But then later on, guys, we do this, don't we? We say something, and soon we say, oh, I should have kept my big fat mouth shut. I know. And boy, it's too late to bring the words back in. Because sometimes there's some key subjects you just want to go down the road. Amen? Okay. So then later on in life, as you learn, as you've been together for a while, your wife says something, and it could be the husband also. I'm just picking on us men. So you guys are angels.
I'm pretty mean right now.
Oh, no, you're justified. I'm the one that's doing all this. No, you're not mean. But after a while, you come home or you do whatever, you walk in, no, I'm not. I'm going to keep my mouth shut. I'm going to sit down and have peace. Well, folks, the same way, that's the way God is with us. You know, when we are separated from Him, when we have sin in our life, it separates the communication, and God's still there. He doesn't quit loving. My wife doesn't stop loving me when I do stupid things. At least I don't think she does. But the blessings stop. And if God's the same way, He don't stop loving us. But when we allow sin to come in to our relationship with Him, we're just like, okay. A lot of times, folks, when we know that we've sinned, you know, no. Hi, God, how you doing? He already knew that you did. He's already known what you've done. He's still hanging out with you. And we try to do everything. We might try to do special works. We'll sort of say, I'll just do this today. And you go visit with people. You pass out Bible tracts. You do whatever you want. Just trying, oh, God, see you. I'm doing okay. Until we stop and say, okay, God. Yeah, repent. I'm sorry. God, I should never have done that. Forgive me. You know, if you've been married for a while, I've probably done the same dumb things a few times. Have I not? And every time that I come to her, she's always willing to forgive me. We're in a relationship. Okay, that's part of the relationship. We're committed to one another. And God's the same way with us. He's committed to us. You know, Jesus refers to the church as His bride. Now, guys, I know you might sound kind of strange to think you're a bride, but we're his bride. The church is the bride of Christ. So sometimes I look at the Word of God and I think, well, it's also, it's a lot of things, but one thing it is, it's marriage counseling. When we have issues with our groom, we open the book up and he shows us, hey, now this is what we need to be doing. And counseling can be a good thing at times, that comes from the right source. So sometimes we got to look towards God and say the same thing, God, what's wrong? What's wrong? What do I do now, God? I know that I can feel in my spirit, God, we are separated. What have I done? What have I said? And He'll bring that back to your attention. And you repent from it. And then that communication line's open again.
Sometimes it's what we didn't do.
Well, sometimes it's what we didn't do also. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, same way in the marriage. Sometimes it's not what I did, it's what I didn't do, you know. Yeah. I didn't take my shoes off coming in from the barn, okay? But it's things like that. And the thing of it is that communication is both ways, okay? As I come in, my missus, she'll tell me what I did wrong. I walk in there and say, yeah, I can tell right away something's wrong. What's the matter, hon? You're standing in the living room, you got your barn boots on. Oh! Right away she tells me, it's settled, right? We're back in, and I try to remember the next time. It's the same way with God. Yeah, we go then, He will. As we read His Word, yeah, I said try. I didn't make any promises there, okay? But again, what God wants to do, He wants us all by Himself. He doesn't want nothing in between us and Him. And that's why He gives us His Word. Now, in Isaiah 59:2, we read it before. It says, your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God. And your sins have hidden His face from you so that He does not hear. Again, sin, it closes the ears of God. It breaks off the communication level. It's like that phone line just broke through. Sin does that. Okay? And it caused Him to hide His face from you. So if He's hiding His face, He's not watching you. Okay? Wow, that's pretty. And He's not hearing you. But the minute that we recognize sin and we repent from our sins, turn away from it. When Christ came into your life, that's how it started. He forgave us our sins. And then when we sin, it's not getting born again. It's repenting. Father, forgive me in the name of Jesus. I should have never said that, done that. That opens your communication lines back up again. And it's very important, not just for yourself, but for each other. You know, when you pray for me, your phone line has to be open to the Lord. When you lift my name up to God, as I lift up your names to God, we have to have that communications level. How sad it is to hear people, you know, maybe 40 people say, hey, I'm praying for you, I'm praying for you. Okay, thank you. And there's nothing happening in your life. And maybe those 40 people don't have a relationship with God. That's why it's so important for us that we make sure we keep our phone lines open. Remember, God loves us so much that He tells us what sin is and offers to forgive us and even to give us strength or help us to overcome temptations from sin with the blood of Christ and the Holy Spirit. He even tells us what sin is before we get involved. Amen? You know, and a lot of times, gentlemen, our wives will say, now listen, if you come back in that house again like that, you're telling me right up front, you know. If I want supper, you make sure you take them boots off outside. Okay, otherwise, this is my house, I got it clean, and you're not going to come in and track it up. She gave me a warning right from the very beginning, Fred. Right, she told me what to do. Now, if I come back in again, what's going to happen? I'm not going to get any supper, am I? Okay, and who can I blame for that?
Yeah.
Me. Yes, amen, amen. Sometimes we want to play head games or who's in charge of the house, you know. And same way at times we do the same thing with God. In our minds, He ain't going to tell me what to do. I know He said to do, but He ain't telling me what to do. We have this thing inside of us that we don't want to surrender ourselves completely. You know, because some of us, maybe at one time or another, you've been hurt in a relationship. Maybe you surrendered everything you had to somebody. Man, you held nothing back. And all of a sudden, man, you got hurt. You get blindsided. And, oh, man, and you say, I'll never do that. I'll never totally trust anybody. And folks, it's easy to understand that. But God isn't that way. We need to totally 100% trust Him. Just give it all to Him. Surrender it all to Him. And allow Him to govern us. Let Him to be our Lord. He only has the best for us. Man will fail you. I will fail my wife. She'll fail me from time to time. But God never will. And we have to understand that. You know, God is not a man that He would lie. And even on the best relationships, we let one another down. And that can cause walls to be built up. Even relationships are brought back together sometimes. Well, I'm going to keep back 10%. Just in case it happens again. Just in case she walks out on me, he walks out on me. We don't fully commit again. And so we don't fully have that relationship established. But if a guy, he wants us fully trust them and commit everything we have with them and understand and trust them and try him, he says, you know. Test the Lord in this area. In Isaiah 53:5, he says, but he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening of our well-being fell upon him. And some said, by his stripes or by his scourging, we are healed. Which means, you know, maybe you messed up your life at one time or another. Maybe you messed up your household. Maybe your house was upside down because of some actions that you've taken or some actions that you didn't take. Maybe you allowed things to take place in your house that shouldn't have, and now you got chaos there. Or maybe you let so much junk take over your life that the light of Christ isn't shining into your life anymore. Folks, the good news is this. So there's still hope. You can sit here today and your life might be upside down. Your kids might be inside and out. Your family might be falling apart. You walked with the Lord for years, but you fell away. You don't know. You're not even really sure why you're here today. You thought, but something brought you here. Well, 2 Chronicles 7:14, I want to read this to you. It's talking about the people of God. And it says here, God says, if my people, or let's say if you, who are called by my name, if you just humble yourself and pray, and just turn back, seek my face, he says, and just turn from your wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven. He said, he'll forgive your sins and will heal your land. Look at that, guys. No matter where you've been, what's happened. I don't care what happened last night. Even this morning, before you come to church, everything gone on, and you fell away from the Lord, or you let things take place in your life and in your house that shouldn't be there. God said, man, listen. My people, John 1:10 says, as a born-again Christian, we are His people. If you were just turn from your wicked ways, He says. Repent. Wow. Remember how easy turning is? 180 degrees. Man, there's hope for us, guys. Don't write yourself off. Don't write your family off yet. Don't think, there's never hope. There's never nothing ever going to change. Right here it is, guys. Right here it is. Man, if my people, we are His people. He wants that. You know, that was a little negotiation going on between Him and Solomon when He built the temple. Just in case something happened. Just in case we mess up, God, would You forgive us if we turn back to You? And God agreed to it. Say, I'll do that. I'll do that. You know? I'll do that, he says. If you just turn back to me and repent, I'll heal your lands. I'll heal your household. Wow, isn't that awesome? I don't care what has happened. That's his promise. You know? If we repent and allow God to heal us, our household, our body, Jesus is our blessed hope. Let him have his way in our life. I'll heal your lands, your household, your body. You know? I speak a lot about, about houses and doors being open and windows letting drafts in or let sin in and stuff like that. And today I was thinking on the way in that if you ever have a leaky roof, you know, we've all had them probably. And you ever not fix a leaky roof because it only leaks when it rains? And when it's not raining and sunny, I'll get it later. Okay. Well, imagine your house in the hole in the roof. And Steve, there's water dripping. Doom, doom. Okay. If right away I go up there and put a patch on that thing, my house can be pretty decent. But the thing of it is, it's just a small hole. Boom, boom. It's just a little leak there, Joe. And, you know, the water's coming in the house. I know I got mice in my attic. They need water, too, you know, brother. So I just let it come down here. However, but as that water continued to drip and drip, it's going to start soaking the insulation, the ceiling, the boards. It's going to get wetter and wetter and wetter. And then someday, the ceiling will fall down on top of you. Amen? And he goes, oh, I got to do something. And so first thing you want to do, if you go in and start tearing out the ceiling, put a new ceiling up, what's going to happen? It's going to get wet again. So the number one thing we have to do is go back to the source of what's causing all this decay, that hole in the roof, and get it patched. And once you patch it, you can start doing the same on the inside. Start replacing that ceiling. Start replacing that insulation stuff. Allow it to be made better. You know, you see that hole in the roof, you call the roofer to come in and take care of things. And you know, if you have a hole in your roof, and it's on the back side of the house, where no one ever goes anymore, it's still going to do the same damage. You just can't see it. And one day you wake up and you're sitting in the living room and the ceiling falls on top of you. Or the bedroom like we did at the farmhouse. You just get out of bed and boom, the ceiling falls down. And you think, what happened? Man, what happened? And you look up there, you look right up there and say, Joe, I don't see any holes in the roof. Man, what's going on? Well, you keep tracking. You look clear back here. Clear back here was the damage way back here. Way back here is the damage. It just took for a long time for the water to run down here. Run down and run down and run down and build up. And boom! That hole could have been there 4 years ago. But slowly but surely it had a tool in the roof. That's the same way at times with our lives and sin in our life, you know. There could be a sin that we committed in that wide open now, and it's been eating at us, and it's coming in to destroy us. And wow, we recognize that, man, we got sin. We repent from the sin. We block the hole. It's not going to come in anymore. But there's still some damage done that has to be cleaned up. And you would call a carpenter in, right? To take care of it. In our lives today, who's our carpenter?
Jesus
Christ. If we call him in, if we patch that hole with his blood and call him in, and he'll start repairing our lives for us. Amen. And he'll repair the structure first, then the cosmetics. You know, it doesn't do much good to put that new ceiling up if the boards above us rotten. Okay? So a lot of time what work is being done, you don't see it. You don't see it because it's working on the structure. You know, our eyeballs, we want to see the beauty of it. You know, if you've ever been sick and think, man, if I get this big gash in my arm, it's not healing. But it's going from the inside out. Yeah. You know, so we cannot live upon our sight. Right. We have to live upon faith in the Spirit. Amen, guys. And again, God is not a God that lies. Even though you can't see it, believe it, that He's doing what He says He's going to do. And it's always good to have a house inspector come in and inspect your house every once in a while. You know, just make sure you're doing well. But that's what the Word of God does. As you bring the Word of God into your life, it's inspecting your life. And right away, it'll tell you whether or not you've got a hole somewhere in the roof. Okay? Also, it'll tell you whether you've got a good roof. You know, the Bible isn't there just to beat us up. It's there to encourage us, too. Yes. Man, several times Paul says, these are things we used to do. Praise God, we used to do some of these things, but we don't anymore. Amen? Amen. All sickness, disease, death, hatred, everything has come from sin. If we will allow the Lord to lead us, He will lead us away from the harvest that sin has placed in our lives. With Jesus, we always have hope. Amen? We always have hope. As we follow Him, He leads us away from these things. You know, there is a harvest for sin, and that comes to us. Our own personal sins or the sins of the world make any difference. Jesus conquered all of them. Matthew 19:26, He shares with us. He said, looking upon them, he's staring at them when they were speaking to him about the boy. He said, with man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. That's in Matthew 19:26. I want you to read that again. Just think about this. With men, Jason says, it's impossible. But with God, all things are possible. And I'm going to weave that verse in with another verse we have in Mark 9:23. In verse 22, it says, and I'm in chapter 9 of Mark, he says, "It has often, talking about the boy, thrown him both into the fire and to the water to destroy him." This youngster is having seizures. "But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us." And the disciples already tried to heal this young man, and he couldn't do it. And so Jesus looked at him and said, "What? If you can," they came to him and said, "If you can." Wow. He says, "All things are possible to him who believes." Okay? All things are possible to him who believes. And with God, all things are possible. Now, what did we learn last week? All things are possible to him who believes. I think this is one of the keys here. Jesus says, if you're a believer in me, if you're my disciple, what will you do? You'll follow my word. Okay? Christ is saying, all things are possible to him who believes. Now, so sometimes our mindset is this. I mean, it's not bad, but it's not 100% correct where we're thinking at times. Well, I believe Jesus is the Son of God. I believe that. I believe I'm going to be healed. Okay? But then we go over here, we sit somewhere. Over here, I'm sitting in some type of sin. I don't care what you want to call it. I believe Jesus is the Son of God. I believe He heals people. He'll heal me. But what did He teach us last week? If you believe in me, you'll follow my commands. I think that's one of the key ingredients we have to the healing of our bodies as a believer, to believe in Christ, to follow Christ, to do as Christ says. And as you believe He is the Son of God, as you believe He died for your sins, as you believe that He took your... Remember Opal last week? We almost executed Opal, remember? Okay? When you believe... I know. I got to quit spending all the money on... But this was her helmet for the executor. If you truly believe that Jesus Christ took your death penalty for your sins, you're going to follow Him. If we say He is, but we don't, we stay in sin. Folks, this is still here. Okay? This is still the wages of my sin. And God loves us so much. He said, okay, guys, let's get things straight here. You know, if you believe in my Son, if you receive the forgiveness of your sins, you will follow Him. But too many times we step out, we stay in the sin. We walk around with a death sentence. And we wonder why this doesn't take place. Man, why is my life better? Man, where's my healing at? Where's this at? Where's that at? And this can be one of the reasons that we've chosen to disobey God. And the good news is we read earlier in 2 Chronicles, if my people who are called by my name, they humble themselves and seek my face and turn from our wicked ways. Man, if we repent, if we realize, maybe you're sitting here today thinking, oh my lands. Is that part of my problem? Am I stopping God from doing what He wants to do in my life? Because, man, I have chosen some sin. Yeah, I ain't like I used to be, and praise God we're not. But if we're not allowing the Word of God in our life, every part of it, and we're choosing to block Him out of some parts of it, just because, well, Gail is kind of fun. You know what I'm saying? God is a jealous God. Understand that. God is a jealous God. He'll have no other gods before Him. And when we choose, we say, well, I'm not choosing another God. Folks, there's two gods. We're going to put Satan is the God of the universe, the God of the earth. Jesus tells us that, okay? He is the God of this earth. God is the God of everything. But if we choose to be with the God of this world, God says, okay, that's yours. Well, God, just on Fridays or just on Tuesday. God said, I'm a jealous. Can you imagine? My wife and I were married 38 years, but honey, on Thursdays. Nah. That little cute thing down around the corner. Hey, listen, you got 6 days a week of me. You know?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, yeah. She's only have 24 hours of me, you know? Can you imagine me coming home and say, oh, honey, scoot over. What would she do to me?
Throw
me out. I don't think I get through the door, probably. You know what I'm saying?
Throw you out is the nicest
thing. Throw me out. Yeah. But look at it. It's funny, but think of it. I would not expect my missus to allow me to bring a girlfriend and even add another room to the house for my girlfriend. Here, honey, she's not in your house. Would anyone ever be mad at my wife for refusing to allow me to have my girlfriend live beside me? Anyway, seriously, anybody? I mean, everybody think this might be right? Okay. Can we ask God to do anything less? Think of that. He is our God. He wants to be everything. But if we don't allow Him total access to us, if we don't have Him as our God and worship Him and love Him truly, don't think that, well, I gave you $6 to $8 a week, God. Thursday's mine. No, I'm telling you right there. And when He does that, that when you're in sin, He steps back. The Bible even said today, His eyes are closed, His face is turned away, His ears. The only thing He can hear now is repentive. See, I believe why He turns His head, He's showing us, man, it's going to break His heart to see the love of His life doing what they're doing. And maybe the same way you see my wife turning her face, oh, I can't watch my husband in sin. I can't watch that. Maybe when I would come to my senses and realize, man, that's not right. I would come and repent. He would forgive me and allow me back into the house. And God's the same with us today. Maybe you do have a room added on to your spiritual house. Maybe you do have a God in there that you worship. It could be your money. It could be anything. That something that you're allowing to take place in your life that is not of God. You remember, our tongue is one of the biggest weapons we have. As we say, God, search me. Show me, God, what is there? Our relationship. Check up on it. Because He'll have no other gods before Him. But He loves you. He cares for you. He only wants the best for us. If He didn't, there wouldn't be one word written down. If He wanted to destroy us, He don't have to tell us nothing. We'd destroy ourselves, would we not? You know, we would destroy ourselves. Just think how bad the world is today. And the Holy Spirit is still here. Can you imagine, Kathy? The second the church is out, like we saw earlier, that is the only thing that restrains the evil one. That's the only thing that's keeping back total chaos in this world, is us born-again believers walking around praying with the Holy Spirit. That's the only thing that's keeping it back. You know, it's kind of like in Coshocton right now, we have maybe, I don't know anymore, I'm going to be retired, about 35 deputies, you know, that try to keep. Well, at one time, I think there was like 40,000 Hell's Angels. Can you imagine? They all came and got shocked at one time. You know, the defense line would be kind of thin. But can you imagine when the deputies were pulled out? Can you imagine the sheriff looked down and said, hey, boys, we've done what we could. There's 40,000. Hey, let's go. We're out of here. Can you imagine the total chaos? Okay. That's what we're doing now. That's what you are doing today. As a born-again believer, as you're praying, as you're seeking the Lord, as you're just sharing His love, you're holding back the evil that's going to take over this world very, very quickly. Very, very soon. And God doesn't want to see anybody miss that. He doesn't want anybody to be left behind, as we saw earlier. He doesn't. That's why the Word is here. That's why His Word shows us, time and time again, what can interfere with our relationship with them. And whether we think it will or it won't, it does. So now we see not just with God, but now it's also with us. All things are possible to him who believes. No matter what circumstance, as you believe in Christ, as you follow Christ, all things are possible. And what did Jesus say about those who believe? They obey him, follow him, and they trust him. But if we don't do as he instructs, And we are not his followers or true believers. In fact, he calls us a liar. He says they are believers, but don't follow him. So let us do as Jesus instructs us and allow God to bring his healing, his love, and all his blessings and his promises to us. That's what he wants to do. We just allow him total access to our life. And folks, it's never, ever too late. You know, these end times, I know, he says that scoffers will come. 2 Peter 3:3-9, I'll close with this verse here. We're getting closer. I keep every week the Lord is going to finish this part of his word for us, but he keeps going to it, yeah. Well, 2 Peter chapter 3:3-9, I'll read that in a second. But like this week, if anybody been following the news at all in Texas, there has been a they took back some of the requests, but there's a mayor there in Texas that required all pastors preaching the gospel in Houston, Texas, speaking about homosexuality, that they must surrender their sermons to the mayor, that she will not have any hate crimes taking place in her city. Wow. I mean, this is Houston. That's what her order was. Turned out to be that the mayor herself is a lesbian. And she sees the preaching of homosexuality as a hate crime. And that, what have we been saying for a long time? That they will call us haters? And so she required that all the sermons be surrendered to them. But with Christians coming together and standing up, she has recanted on that requirement at this time. Folks, I don't understand. It's not out of hatred that we share the gospel. This word of God isn't out of hatred. When God tells me, hey man, listen, Starkey, if you want to lie and be a liar, you won't see the kingdom of God. Well, thank you, God. I'll quit lying. You know, he'll give us the strength even to quit lying if we repent from our sins. That's out of love. You know, we mentioned the rainbow earlier, and the rainbow was always, a sign to God that, hey, listen, no matter how bad they get, I won't flood them out. But when we take the rainbow, we start turning it into something that, you know, something, I mean, they're pretty, but when we take the rainbow and we start turning it into something to celebrate, it's kind of like hearing your smoke alarm going off in your house and say, oh, dinner's ready. Think of that. The rainbow is alarm to us, or is a sign to us. Remember, guys, God judges sin, but he promises that he won't flood us anymore. Fire's coming the next time. We know that. Okay? Same way with the smoke alarm. If you think the smoke alarm going off telling you, well, dinner's ready. All right, let's go eat. Man, we're sadly mistaken. The alarm doesn't work anymore. If you hear the smoke alarm go off and it doesn't excite you to get out of the house, there's something wrong. It's been watered down. And we got to make sure we don't let that be watered down. You know, the rainbow, all the colors are beautiful. And when someone mentioned that to you about the rainbow, great, yeah, it's beautiful. Hey, you know, that's a beautiful sign from God. And explain to them what had happened, why the rainbow is up there. It's a great thing to, you know, a lot of times people won't listen to you talk about fire and brimstone, right? But a beautiful rainbow, they will. Hey, let me tell you about that rainbow. You know how they got in the sky there, Kenny? See, look how beautiful it was to you. And it just stimulated conversation, didn't it? Exactly what he wants us to do.
I knew what it meant.
Exactly. Exactly how beautiful it was. Yeah, amen.
But there is one thing I have to mention with.
What's that?
And those rainbow flags are being made right here in this town.
Oh, yeah, the rainbow flags.
Yeah. So we're talking about the rainbow to gay people.
Oh, I was thinking Skittles. When you say, oh... Oh, I got you. Oh, yeah. And yeah, and again, that's to me, that is another slap in God's face, okay? Of all the flags that we're going to rebel against, they take something that God says is a warning because of sin. This is my reminder, I won't wipe you out. And we take that and we make flags out of it to walk around in sin. And that's pride, and pride comes before a fall. Amen. But in this verse here, we'll close the day. It says, 1577. Let me glue my pages back in here. Chapter 3, verse 3, it says, know this first of all. Chapter 3, verse 3 through 9. Yep. That's okay. I probably said it different. Now, know this first. I'll just play the tape back. We'll find out who's right. Know this first of all, that in the last days mockers will come with their mocking, followers after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all continued just as it was from the beginning of creation. For when they maintained this, it escapes their notice that by the word of God, the heavens existed long ago, and the earth was formed out of water and by water, through which the world at that time was destroyed, being flooded with water. But the present heavens and earth, by his word, are being reserved for fire, kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. But do not let this one fact escape your notice, beloved, that with the Lord one day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to the repentance. Again, people are you hear it in the churches anymore. And you share about the coming of the Lord, and we share about the signs, and talk about the blood moons and all. And even those in the church are saying, oh, come off. They've been saying that for years. You know, don't worry about it. And the Word of God even told us that people will say that at the end. If they read their own Bible, they would know that it's going to take place. Okay? But he said, he's not slow. He doesn't want any of us to perish. When we say, God, why, God, how much longer? Just think of one more loved one or someone you're praying for, and one more day might be that one day that they need in order to turn their life to Jesus Christ. He is coming back. He is coming back very soon. And he wants us to be prepared. That's why he gave us his word. He says that heavens existed long ago. And if we read the Word of God, he does things in cycles. And we know that as we approach this 6,000 years, that the 1,000-year millennium rest is coming. But before that, the taking away of the church. As we saw at the beginning, the rapture of the church is taken away that quick. We'll be out of here. There'll be no second chances at that period of time. They won't, you know, if we're extending our grace and staying in sin, saying, I'll wait a while yet. I'm too young to be a church prude. You know, I'll start going to church when I'm 40 or 50. That way I have my fun and then repent from it. Folks, we're not guaranteed that. You know, we are not guaranteed it at all. And we must continue to share the love of Christ. Even though some of the laws, again, we saw in Texas, they're trying to change things. We're behind the pulpits, that we can't bring forth the gospel of Jesus Christ. And folks, again, it's out of love. You know, when we share that, man, if Daryl, if you're a thief, you continue to steal, you will not see the kingdom of God. You know, repent from it. That's out of love. And when we say, hey, listen, homosexuality is an abomination in the eyes of God, it's a sin that God will forgive you of it. We have to repent from it. That's not hatred. Man, no, that's love, man. That is love. We have to remember that part of it. You know, we say that fornication, you know, if you're living together, a husband and a wife, but you're not married, you're living in sin. That's fornication. No fornicator shall see the kingdom of God. That's out of love. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your love. And God, we thank you for these communication lines you've given us. That, Father, we notice the sin in our lives. We repent from it. God, you're there waiting for us to restore it. God, we thank you for 2 Chronicles, the encouragement we have, God. That it's up to all we have to do to turn back to you. You don't leave us. You're there watching us. We know your heart breaks many times, God, when you see what we've done. But God, how willing you are to forgive us and receive us back. And so, Lord, I just ask today that you move upon our hearts. And, Father, anything that you bring to our mind now, Holy Spirit, just bring back anything that we have done that's blocking our God from being involved in our life. And we just repent from it this morning, Father. Forgive us of our sins. Forgive us the times that we fall short of the mark. Forgive us, even God, on the time that we know it was sin, but we did it anyway. God, we just seek your forgiveness today, Lord. And Father, we just stand in the gap today for our nation. God, we ask that your hand of wrath be held back, Father. Lord, forgive us of the laws that we allow to take place in our country. God, forgive us for the activity that we permit to take place in the world that you created, Father. Forgive us for the abuse that we take, that what you've given us, what you've supplied us with, and we used it for evil, God. Forgive us. Lord, direct us. We yield ourselves more to you, Lord. Father, be more involved in our family. We just yield now our families to you, God. Help us as husbands and wives and mothers and fathers or aunts and uncles or grandparents, Father, whatever our label is. Help us to have you more involved in the lives that we share with loved ones. Help us, Father, to have strength to stand there in love and continue to share that love, whether it's acceptable or not, to those around us, God. May our hearts not grow cold. May our eyes be open to see the way you see, our ears open to hear as you hear, and may our voices, God, bring forth that blessed hope we have through Christ Jesus. That this world, this sinful, dying world, Father God, that it may be resurrected through the love of Jesus Christ through his blood. Help us, God, to encourage our brothers and sisters who are leading us. Help us, God, support. Let us help them to affirm that what they're doing is not in vain. Whether they're in the elected places around our country, God, in government, leading us, Father, or whether they're across the waters, God, leading a crusade for Christ, may we continue to encourage them. And, Lord, take the resources you've given us to support ourselves with, to take the excess, God, even maybe to the point of sacrifice, to reach out to others, God, to help them get the word out that your coming is very, very soon. And we just pray that the harvest will be great for you. And to you be the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 God is good. Oh, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May he cause his face to shine upon you and may he be gracious to you. May he turn his face toward you and grant you peace. May you walk in the love and the authority he's given you to you through the Holy Spirit. May you know victory after victory. Whatever may come your way, may you be strengthened by his word and encouraged by his spirit. As we give him the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Amen.
I am blessed. I am blessed. Every day that I live, I am blessed. When I wake up in the morning or lay my head to rest, I am blessed. I am blessed.
God bless you. See you all next Sunday. If I don't see you in heaven before, God is good.